philosophical questions without having had a professional training in philosophy. I have to thank the editor of the New Quarterly for permission to reprint The Study of Mathematics and sections 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6 of the essay On the Elements of Ethics. And for section 4, I have to thank the editor of the Hibbert Journal. My acknowledgments are also due to the editors of the Independent Review, the Edinburgh Review, the Albany Review, and the Proceedings of the Aristotelian Society for permission to reprint the essays 2, 4, 5, and 6, respectively. In the sixth essay, as originally printed, there was a third section, which is now replaced by the seventh essay. Oxford, July 1910. Postscript. The death of William James, which occurred when the printing of this book was already far advanced, makes me wish to express what in the course of controversial writings does not adequately appear, the profound respect and personal esteem which I felt for him, as did all who knew him, and my deep sense of the public and private loss occasioned by his death. For readers trained in philosophy, no such assurance was required, but for those unaccustomed to the tone of a subject in which agreement is necessarily rarer than esteem, it seemed desirable to record what to others would be a matter of course. October 1910. End of preface. Chapter 1 of Philosophical Essays by Bertrand Russell. First half. C. Elkind at the University of Iowa in Coralville, Iowa. The Elements of Ethics, footnote 1. What follows is largely based on Mr. G. E. Moore's Principia Ethica, to which the reader is referred for fuller discussions. Parts 1 and 2 of the following essay are reprinted from the New Quarterly, February 1910, Part 3 from the New Quarterly, May 1910, Part 4 from the Hibbert Journal, October 1908, and Parts 5 and 6 from the New Quarterly, September 1910. End of footnote 1. Part 1. The Subject Matter of Ethics. Section 1. The study of ethics is perhaps most commonly conceived as being concerned with the questions, what sort of actions ought men to perform, and what sort of actions ought men to avoid. It is conceived, that is to say, as dealing with human conduct, and as deciding what is virtuous and what vicious, among the kinds of conduct between which, in practice, people are called upon to choose. Owing to this view of the province of ethics, it is sometimes regarded as the practical study, to which all others may be opposed as theoretical. The good and the true are sometimes spoken of as independent kingdoms, the former belonging to ethics, while the latter belongs to the sciences. This view, however, is doubly defective. In the first place, it overlooks the fact that the object of ethics, by its own account, is to discover true propositions about virtuous and vicious conduct, and that these are just as much a part of truth as true propositions about oxygen or the multiplication table. The aim is not practice, but propositions about practice. And propositions about practice are not themselves practical, any more than propositions about gases are gaseous. One might as well maintain that botany is vegetable, or zoology, animal. Thus, the study of ethics is not something outside science and coordinate with it, it is merely one among sciences. Section 2. In the second place, the view in question unduly limits the province of ethics. When we are told that actions of certain kinds ought to be performed or avoided, as, for example, that we ought to speak the truth or that we ought not to steal, we may always legitimately ask for a reason, and this reason will always